From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Thank you for joining us today for Let the Bible Speak. This is Alan Cairns with you as we continue our study of the Ten Commandments. Today we'll be looking once more at the fifth commandment, Honour thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. This commandment is vital for the welfare of our families, our homes, our churches, and our nation. It has a pertinent message for us all, so stay tuned. Before we turn to God's Word, let me encourage you to be in touch with us. Remember that we have some ongoing resources that we offer freely to all our listeners. Let me make special mention of a couple of them. First, we have our monthly Let the Bible Speak devotional tape or CD with brief doctrinal studies, devotional messages, testimonies, and music. And then we have the April-June issue of our Let the Bible Speak quarterly magazine. This is an issue you won't want to miss. It deals with some of the great moral issues that confront the people of God today. Abortion on demand, euthanasia, homosexuality, the Lord's Day. It has a vibrant missionary page and a feature article on the life and ministry of a young Christian physician. That's Let the Bible Speak Quarterly Magazine. Now you may have that or the devotional tape or CD, or indeed any of the other resources that we mention from time to time here on the program, by writing or calling us at Let the Bible Speak. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Or you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS 1-866-877-5827. I trust that you'll make sure to be in touch with us. We look forward to hearing from you.
Believe and believe and believe.
Emily Eastman, the executive director of Lutherans Concerned North America, recently stated that it is a common perception that being Christian and being gay is an oxymoron. Of course, she intended to convey the message that the common perception is wrong. In fact, it's Emily Eastman who's wrong. She's one of a group of activist supporters of the self-styled Gay and Lesbian Task Force that has hijacked the name Christian. This group, grandiosely calling itself the Institute for Welcoming Resources, is an umbrella organization for some 1,300 congregations from mainline denominations that welcome homosexuals and perverts who style themselves bisexual and transgender. Ms. Eastman wants more churches to become more welcoming of such people and hopes that as they do so, their membership will translate their more tolerant attitude into a new kind of voting on moral, social issues when election time comes around. In seeking to further this agenda, the churches in the Institute for Welcoming Resources recently joined with the Secular Gay and Lesbian Task Force, whose director welcomed them by speaking of the important and heroic work being done in the religious denominations. This important and heroic work was not one of evangelism or of introducing homosexual sinners to the life-changing message of the gospel that all sinners need. No, it was a work of undermining all Bible-based opposition to the sodomite agenda in the churches concerned. This is what the Institute for Welcoming Resources has bought into. This institute works with 7 mainline denominations. Listen carefully. Your church could be in the list. The 7 are the Presbyterian Church USA, the United Church of Christ, the United Methodist Church, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, the Community of Christ, the Christian Church, Disciples of Christ, and the American Baptist Churches. Not every congregation of these denominations is under the umbrella of the Pro-Sodomite Institute, but every one of them should be aware of the fact that the churches in their fellowship are actively pursuing a blatantly anti-Christian line, betraying the gospel in their zeal for the evil cause of having sodomite practice accepted as normal. That should cause every Bible believer in such denominations to evaluate his position. It's time more Christians put Christ before their denomination and said, enough is enough, and separated from such apostasy. And it's time to give the lie to the pro-sodomite propaganda. Anyone who tells a homosexual that he may pursue his unnatural lust and be a Christian is doing him the ultimate disservice. The Christianity proclaimed by the pro-sodomite lobby is not Christianity at all, but a perversion of it, and that perversion has no saving power. According to Scripture, and scriptural Christianity is the only true Christianity, you cannot be a homosexual and be a Christian. The Bible says, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God." 1 Corinthians 6:9-10. Now this is not to say that none of the sinners mentioned here cannot be saved. The very next verse says, "And such were some of you. But you're washed, but you're sanctified, but you're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." What it does say is that these are sins from which the Lord Jesus saves his people. Do we tell thieves and adulterers, etc., that they do not have to repent of their thieving or their adultery, but may be good Christians as they continue with their evil ways? Not at all. And the same is true of homosexuals. Homosexuality, bisexuality, transgender cross-dressing perversion are sins. In a way, that's good news. For the gospel has the answer for sin. Christ forgives sin and saves his people from its dominion. He can and will do this for every penitent sinner, homosexual or heterosexual, who repents and believes the gospel. That's Christ's command, repent and believe the gospel. No one who refuses to heed that command can be a Christian, no matter how many apostate churches and parachurch organizations tell them otherwise. You cannot live as a sodomite and be a Christian. Sodomites are not Christians, and Christians are not sodomites. Today we return to the fifth commandment and underline that fathers are to reflect the fatherhood of God and mothers the role of the church in its nourishment of its children. The law of God forbids unbridled individualism, and it commands a true respect and honor for legitimate authority. Now that's as far as I can pursue those subjects, because I want to confine the study to the primary reference of the commandment, which is the proper attitude and actions of parents and children toward each other. Now, I set out with the intention of doing it all tonight, and I may yet do that. But Dr. Barrett is running short of time. He's to go and meet his wife, and you know I can't put a stress upon that marriage relationship. So I may not go too far, time-wise or otherwise, tonight. It may come as a shock when I include the duties of parents in the subject, when the text says it's addressed to children, honor thy father and thy mother. Well, think of the terms father and mother. Those are terms that must be understood in the full sense of the word. We read in Ephesians chapter 6 tonight, where the Apostle Paul was quoting, applying, and therefore expounding this fifth commandment. And he did speak to the children, but he also spoke to the parents. You can't divorce them. It's a little bit like when a husband comes and says, my wife's not in subjection. Well, she should be in subjection. He mightn't be all that he's supposed to be, but wife, you should be in subjection. And you should not be flaunting the legitimate desire and authority and instruction of your husband. You can't do that without flying in the face of God. But yet, so many times a husband comes and says, my wife's not in subjection. But what about the other part that says, husbands, love your wives as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it? Very often those very husbands who are griping the loudest are the most self-centered creatures, and they simply waft in and out of the home as if they were visitors from outer space. Now that does not in itself justify the wife's breach of the law of God, but it explains it in part. And similarly, parents who are always harping at their children, honor your father, honor your mother, while they themselves are not fulfilling the duties that the Bible sets down for fathers and mothers, will soon find that they're causing more harm than good. You see, parents are to be fathers and mothers. In the full sense of those terms, they're to fulfill the various functions which God in His Word ascribes to fatherhood and motherhood. I suppose the summary way in which to put that is that fathers are to reflect the fatherhood of God. Understand that. According to Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 15, it is after God that every family in heaven and earth is named. The very idea of fatherhood comes from God. It's been the tragic experience of every pastor who has had much to do with people at all to find that there are young people whose hearts are hardened toward God and their lives are twisted and tormented, where the very idea of the fatherhood of God is obnoxious to them because their only contact with fatherhood has been a contact with a selfish, cruel tyranny. Didn't we look at this when we were studying about Martin Luther, talking about the Reformation? Martin Luther, wanting to be saved, going into a monastery, yet hated the very thought of the fatherhood of God. Why? Because the only father he had ever known was a harsh and brutal taskmaster, and to him the word father meant such a thing. I tell you, every father here has got to remember that your fatherhood is to represent the fatherhood of God. And woe be to the man when his children stand before God the judge on the judgment day. Woe be to that man whose representation has been such a caricature of God as to make his children even hate the very name of God the Father. Mothers must reflect the role of the church. The church is the mother of us all, we have read. And the mother must reflect that role of care, of rule, with all the love of God. So there are duties for parents. I can sum them up in three things. Parents are first to instruct their children. Teaching is the primary duty of parents. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 6 and 7. This is just one of many texts that you could cite from the Word. These words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Teach them diligently. You remember what the Lord said of Abraham? I would to God, he could say it of every father. In verse 19, he says, I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment. God looked down on Abraham and he says, I know that man. Of course, he knows every man. God's not fooled by the color of your skin or the smile in your face or the culture that you wrap yourself in. He's not fooled by that. God knows every man. I wonder tonight when he looks at you, can he say, I know that man, that he will command his home, his children, his household. He will teach them. He will instruct them. Parents are meant to spend time teaching their children. Not just the mothers. Somehow or other we have reached this stage where we have almost got a matriarchal society. Somehow or other we've reached the stage where it's the mother who gathers the children around. It's the mother who prays with the children. It's the mother who teaches the children the Bible. It's the mother who teaches them anything. It's the mother who does the schooling at home. It's the mother who does everything in the rearing and the teaching of the child. And I am not for a moment wishing to denigrate or undervalue the input of godly mothers. Having had a godly mother is the last thing in the world I would want to do. I want to tell you, it doesn't say mothers teach your children. It's not just the mothers. Oh, they're not out of the picture. They're a vital part of it. But I can tell you, it's especially the fathers. And if your job makes it too difficult for you to spend time with your children, in God's name, change your job rather than damn your family. That's what it's saying. Teach your children. Spend time with them. You notice in this text there's a time when fathers and mothers and children can actually sit down and talk. You notice that? How many American homes is that true of? Let's not just talk about America. This is a huge place. How many homes in this congregation tonight is it true of? This is a school town. I came from a town in Northern Ireland that was known colloquially as Cowtown. So I've come from Cowtown to Culture Town. Shock was great, especially for you. You know, you can get so busy with the all-consuming demands of school, whether as a student or a teacher, that your family never sits down together. Never has time together to talk about the Word of God and apply it to your lives. I'm going to tell you, my friend, I don't care if you tell me you're doing the work of God. I will tell you, ultimately, you will live to regret it. Time for parents to teach their children.
You've been
listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. I hope that you found today's broadcasting a blessing to your heart. If you'd like to email us, our email address is ltbs@freepres.org. Or if you'd prefer, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We would love to hear from you. If you'd like to know how to be saved and how to be sure you're saved, we'd like to send you my booklet, A New Beginning, and I think that you'll find it very helpful. Each quarter we publish a free full-color magazine, Let the Bible Speak Quarterly, with a good variety of Bible teaching and testimony. It's available to all who request it. If you'd like to receive more information about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America and its ministry, we'd like to send you our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel. Or if you'd like to have tape or CD copies of the messages here in Let the Bible Speak, you may have them by contacting us. Or you may visit us on the web at letthebiblespeakradio.com. Now that's a lot of information to digest all at once, but you can find it all on our website, letthebiblespeakradio.com. There you'll be able to listen to and download our programs, visit our online bookstore, and read a text version of each day's commentary. So visit us today at letthebiblespeakradio.com. This is Alan Cairns saying thank you for listening. I trust that you'll join us each day at this time, Monday through Friday, as we Let the Bible Speak.